Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
The first place we're to go to get endurance is to get it from God. I mean directly from God. You know, there's no method or mechanism here. There's no avenue. It's just a simple statement. If you want to endure and persevere when times get tough in your life, the first place to go is directly to God.
When you're going through hard times, it's easy to feel weary. But the Bible says God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. So how do we draw upon that help when we need it most? Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares points us towards a virtue mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, describing how perseverance is an essential trait to develop if we're to endure life's challenges. It's part of our series called Adding to Your Faith. Well, let's get started.
I don't think there's anything more excruciating than running, right? Have you done any of that? Oh my goodness. Ugh. It's terrible. And I just can't imagine people do it for fun. That's the real mind boggler. But, I've always been told from the time I was just a little kid in church, I remember the preachers getting up and talking about how the Christian life is like a marathon. It's like an endurance race. It's not like a sprint, they always said. I can't compare the Christian life to a sprint. It's always like a marathon race. I suppose that's true. Because we need endurance, but much like a race that is being held in like San Francisco, let's put it that way, there are parts of the Christian life and periods in our Christian life where you feel like the road is just, at about like that angle right there. And you need an extra dose of strength and endurance. And I don't know what the course that you're running on feels like right now. Maybe you're on a downhill slope and the Christian life for you this month or this year has been just, a breeze. I think the starting line, God usually starts it that way. But, you and I will hit periods in our Christian life where the road just turns up and a steep embankment and God calls us to keep running. Those are the times more than any other time that God calls us to exert this thing that we're going to talk about this morning called hupomene. We like to keep it in its original form because it's such a wonderful word picture. Hupo is a little Greek preposition that means under, underneath something. Meno is this verb which means to stay or remain, to stay there. And the picture is much like what you might see if you go down to Tijuana. You see those donkeys under this huge pack that's on their back, and they pile all kinds of things on top of this this animal. And that animal is to remain under that, to stay there, to bear up under the difficult pressure and weight. And kind of like if you think about the marathon, the long race, the endurance race, when we're climbing those hills in the Christian life and God has laid an extra burden in your life through suffering, maybe through the doctor diagnosing some medical problem in your life, maybe getting laid off of a job, maybe a relationship that's strained or a particular challenge or deprivation of some kind that God has put you in. That's a time more than ever in our Christian life where God calls us to exemplify hupomene, the ability to hang in there, to maintain under a crushing weight and a burden in our lives. I did this week a study through the New Testament that I thought would be appropriate based on our text, and we're just going one virtue at a time through this list in 2 Peter chapter 1. And they're all prefaced by the command, the imperative for us to make every effort to add to our faith. If you just think about that phrase for a minute, to make every effort to add to our faith, and then it lists seven things. And we've already discussed that we don't believe that's one on top of the other or that one builds on the former one. We're just saying that all of these things need to be added to our faith, and they need to be done with every effort that we have. Now, I've done a lot of study on the word hupomene, and I've done a lot of sermons on perseverance and endurance, but I've never done what I did this week to specifically look throughout the whole New Testament to try and find how we can get it. And that's a unique study, and I'd like to just share this morning the fruit of my labor in giving to you three places I think that we're called in the New Testament to go to get strength and endurance and perseverance from God. Let's look at this, if you would, by first turning to a passage in Colossians chapter 1. Where are we to go to get strength, endurance, perseverance? Where do we acquire it? If the Bible's calling us in 2 Peter 1 to add this to our faith, and not just exemplify it or exert it or to show it, it's saying that we need to have more of it in our lives. How do we get it? In the middle of chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul reveals his prayer life about these Christians in Colossae, and he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to do a variety of things." He starts with this: to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may be living this life that's worthy of the Lord, and you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, here's an interesting thing he adds to the prayer list for the Colossian Christians. He said, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have, here's our word, hupomene, great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, real simple statement. Paul says, I'm praying for you guys. And as I pray for you guys, I pray for a number of things. But one of the things I'm praying for is that God would impart to you his strength. And so that having his strength, you might have great endurance. Hupomene, the ability to manage under tough and difficult circumstances. Jot this down. The first place where to go to get endurance is to get it from God. I mean directly from God. Does that sound kind of simplistic? Think about that, though. You know, there's no method or mechanism here. There's no avenue. It's just a simple statement. If you want to endure and persevere when times get tough in your life, the first place to go is directly to God. And ask him like a child asking a parent for help on his homework. Just be that specific. I need your help now, and I need your strength now. That may sound so basic, but I find we're apt and quick to complain and to moan and to groan and not to pray. And God calls us to go to him to get it. He is the giver of strength. Jot this reference down, familiar passage, I'm sure you know it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Don't you know, haven't you heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, is the creator of the earth. He never grows weary and he's never tired. No one can understand his wisdom. He gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. He doesn't give us mechanisms or methods there. He doesn't say, here's the process. If they go to my seminars or whatever, or get this book or this tape. He just says, they ask and I give it. They wait on God. They call out to God and I have strength and I will supernaturally impart strength to you. That is a bold request. And one I think was so, it's so simplistic and logical, we overlook it. We're looking at ways to manage through our trials when the first place we ought to go is to our knees and ask God just to fill us with strength. Give me some strength, God. Give me some endurance. Give me your power so that I can face my trial and do it well. Pray. Interesting twist in the book of Colossians, by the way. By the time we get to the end of the book of Colossians, guess what happens? Apostle Paul turns to the Colossian Christians and he said, you know what? Would you guys pray for me? He creates this network of prayer. He says, I'm praying for you. You guys pray for me. Think this through. Stay with me. He's asking for prayer and he's praying for them. Now, why don't you just pray for yourself, Paul? And why don't you just let the Colossian people pray for themselves? Think this through. God wants us to pray so that when we see the answer to our prayers, God will get the credit. It's that simple. God wants it clear to you that when you manage through your trial and you have strength that goes beyond your ability, that it's him and not you. Is that just a basic New Testament principle? I want all the boasting, God says, to be about me. How egocentric. Think about this, right? That's because he's God. God wants the attention on him. God deserves the attention. It's right he gets the attention. It's right he gets the praise. It's right that we boast about him. He doesn't want us to manage through our trial and to stand back and say, I'm glad I did that. He wants you to be profoundly aware of the fact that if you manage through your trial, he did it. And he gave the strength. And he gave the power. Now think about the network of prayer. Why would Paul pray for them and have them pray for him? Why does he pray for himself and have them pray for themselves? As long as you're praying, right? What's the point? The more you broaden the prayer circle, what happens? The more other people know. And the more other people know when God answers prayer, the more people are aware that God did it. Think this through, man. I was dealing with some problems just recently that I was thinking, there's no way I can do this. I cannot physically do this. I could have prayed and just prayed myself, and I started that way. And then I thought, I need to expand the prayer circle here. And think about it. When I tell people, here's a situation I need God's strength for, and I can't do this on my own, when God gives strength to do it, and I get through the other side, guess what happens? The broader the prayer circle, the more people recognize God did it and not Mike. How about your prayer circle? By the time you're done, moms and wives, raising your family, when it's all said and done, do you want the credit to go to you or do you want the credit to go to God? If we're Christians, we ought to be wired correctly to be able to say we want the credit to go to God. Then when you manage through all the struggles of raising those kids, you'd better be asking people around you to pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you start a business and you're in this business and you're doing this thing, just as a Christian, you may be on your knees praying, but you know what? Broaden the prayer circle. Because when you broaden the prayer circle and you say, you know what? I'm going to have people pray for me to survive through this. Then you know what you're doing? If you do survive through that, guess what happens? God gets the credit. You get laid off your job. You lose your employment. Okay? Well, I suppose you could just go and pray about that. And God can give you strength to manage. But when you manage, then who gets to stand around and say, look what a great thing God did? Only you. Unless, of course, you've broadened the prayer circle. Interesting pattern in the New Testament. You won't find the Apostle Paul praying much for himself, but you'll find him all the time praying for others, and you'll find him repeatedly asking for people to pray for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We get strength from God, but as we go to get strength from God, what I'm asking you to do to apply this principle is for you to broaden the prayer circle in your life. And maybe there's someone in your career, maybe there's someone in your stage of life, maybe there's someone that's facing the same kind of uphill struggle you are. Get those people together and create a prayer network. And say, you pray for me, I'll pray for you. And then when we survive this thing, we'll all be able to understand that God provided the strength. And he enabled me to endure. So maybe simplistic, but let's just start with the basics. If we're going to be people who endure hard times, we're going to have to get that strength from God. We're going to have to go to get endurance from God. But as you go and say natural application of the point would be ask him, I just don't want you to go into your personal prayer closet and be asking yourself. I want you to broaden the prayer circle. Who's praying for you to endure the struggles that you're facing? Do you have a list of people that pray for you? If not, create one this week. And particularly if you feel like you have the crushing weight of a lot of burden in your life right now, you'd better increase that prayer circle and make it really big. Because then if you survive, everyone should be able to stand back and throw a party in God's honor. Because look what God did to get you through. You tracking with that? Go to God. You want strength? Go to God. Get it from God directly, but make sure you don't go and pray by yourself. Number two, turn if you would to Romans chapter 15. Let's understand another place, I think, in the New Testament. It's very clear. We get endurance from. Yes, of course, we get it directly from God. We get it in prayer. Sometimes we don't have time to do much else. Here I'm faced with an immediate crisis. God, I need your strength. I can't handle this on my own. I need endurance. I need perseverance. I need strength. We pray. God responds. But there's a process and an avenue through which God gives perseverance. And it's clearly stated here in Romans chapter 15. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. We're talking about the Bible here. Everything that was written in the past, and from this perspective, that was the Old Testament, right? Was written to teach us so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And if you notice that I add a little definite article there before the word endurance, it belongs there. It is there in the original. That through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Did you see the two things that come out of Scripture? The avenue through which God gives these two things in this passage is clear. It's from the Scripture. Look at the next verse, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. Okay, God gives two things. In this passage it says, He gives encouragement and He gives our word, hupomene, endurance. But verse 4 tells us how He does that, at least one of the avenues through which He does it. And it is Scripture. Jot that down. Second place we go to get endurance in our lives is the Bible. Oh, man, this is a fifth grade Sunday school lesson, isn't it? It's so easy. We get it from God, get it from the Bible. How is it that the Bible, though, gives us endurance? What's the mechanism? How should I go about this? Of course, I need to study the Bible more. I know that. I hear it every week at church. I got to study the Bible, get in the Bible, 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 right? But I need to know how my study of Scripture can infuse my heart and my life with more ability to persevere and endure. Let's think about it. Two things in verse 4. I think we'll see them there. It says, first of all, it points our attention to which direction? It says things that were written in the past. Past. Something about biblical history, I think, that helps us get perspective. And there's the key word. We get perspective from our biblical past. If you study the Bible, and even take it from this vantage point, from the Old Testament, all the Old Testament stories were written for us, and they were written to give us endurance and encouragement. How can you derive endurance from the stories of the biblical past? But you know, we live on this timeline at one point in time. I feel as a sentient being all the feelings and emotions of the now. And my life, just by nature, is focused on the now. My blinders are on the now and the problems that I face now and the trials that I have and the suffering that I feel and the challenges and hurdles in my life, I'm all feeling them now. I don't feel the feelings of 5 years from now or 10 years from now, and it's hard for me even to conjure up accurately the feelings of my own past. I'm kind of stuck in the now. But when I go to the Scripture, I begin to identify with a lot of biblical characters, and I get to read their whole life a lot of times in one chapter. I see the whole of how God worked with David as he stood in a valley in the shadow of a giant with a slingshot in his hand. Now, there's a lot of feelings and emotions going on in the now then, but you know what? I know the whole story, and I can read the whole story. And I can see how God is faithful to His servants even when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can read about a guy named Job who sat there with this terrible ailment and his kids had just been killed. The now was real potent, and I can imagine the feelings at the now in chapter 2 were really bad, but I got all the book of Job to deal with. And I can read this thing in an hour or so and get the whole picture and see how God works with a man who suffers tremendously. I can read about Elijah's life, and I suppose the now at the top of Mount Carmel with all these prophets of Baal standing there was a now that was full of potent emotions. And I suppose that would be a stressful event, but I can read that whole story and see how God worked in dealing with His servant when he needed endurance, and even after that when he sat by a rock and wanted to die because he was exhausted and discouraged. And I can see how God ministered to him. I can see the whole of my experience from beginning to end reflected in the lives of the biblical characters, and I can derive perspective. And that perspective is the thing that builds in my life the ability to endure. It takes the blinders off the now and lets me see how God works with people in the past. And how He works with people in the past gives me strength for the now and the struggles that I face. Matter of fact, when I compare my problems to the problems of the people of the biblical past, it gets to be a whole lot of a different perspective about the pain I feel now. I can endure now if I can just get a picture of how God has recorded the lives of the saints in the past. Do you get that? Perspective. Gain perspective from your biblical past. Look in verse 4 again, if you would, in Romans 15. What does it say about the future? That through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Wow, interesting. All the stories of the past do something about giving me a focus on the future. There's the other part of what Scripture does. Matter of fact, if we want to categorize simplistically the Old Testament, so much in the Old Testament can give me pictures of how God dealt with people in the past. And in the New Testament, guess what much of the focus of the New Testament is on? It's on my future. It constantly talks about what God has in store for me in the next life. And you know, the more God can get my focus out of this life and onto the next life, the more I can manage with the trials in this life and say it's no big deal. And that's the perspective I need as I look to the future. When Jesus sat around and talked to a bunch of people that were struggling about a lot of things, particularly financial problems in their life, he said, look, guys, don't sweat it, because if you store up for yourselves treasure here on earth, you know what? It's not lasting anyway. Rust can corrode it, and moths can eat it, and thieves can break in and steal it. But if you would live your life for eternity, and if you would keep your mind on an eternal perspective, you can build for yourself something that will never fade away. A treasure in heaven that you can store up where rust won't corrode it, and moths won't eat it, and thieves won't break in and steal it. And he constantly focuses our attention on the then. Let me prove this to you. Passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, constantly telling us, put your focus on your hope. Put your focus on your hope. And the more you think about the hope that we have in Christ, the more our problems now can be managed. We can handle it. We can have and derive strength and endurance from the Scripture by reading Scripture and listening to what God has to say about our hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. The Apostle Paul doesn't use the word hupomone. He doesn't talk about bearing up under trials, but he gives us a wonderful picture of it. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. That's a picture of hupomone. We hang in there. We're not discouraged. Though outwardly, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. Here's another good picture of hupomone. Outwardly, we're wasting away, yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. I've got inner strength that comes from this thing called hupomone, and I'm full of the ability to face my struggles. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles, and let me tell you this, no one can categorize Paul's problems as light and momentary unless they have a big biblical perspective. And he says, the light and momentary struggles that I've got, they're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all the pain I'm facing. What is the pain you're facing right now? Problems in your life, struggles in your Christian walk? Things happen to you that hurt. I understand that. And I'm not trying to minimize that, but I'm trying to get it in perspective. Read the Old Testament and read about your life in perspective, and then read the New Testament and focus on your hope.
Read the New Testament and focus on your hope. This is a great place to pause our message from Pastor Mike Fabares called A Critical Reminder About Hupomone. You're listening to Focal Point. Today's study comes from our series called Adding to Your Faith. These messages take a deep dive into the traits listed in 2 Peter 1, 5-7. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. In a world that's obsessed with self, this series stands in stark contrast and is a powerful reminder that our goal is to become more like Christ each and every day. And to go along with this new series, we've chosen a book we think you're really going to enjoy. It's called Living Without Worry, and it's by author, speaker, trainer, and counselor, Dr. Timothy Lane. We'd love to get you a copy of Living Without Worry to say thanks when you donate to support the Bible teaching on this program. Now, these daily messages come to you every day on the radio, the Focal Point website, the mobile app, and on your favorite podcasting app. But all these distribution methods come with some fixed costs to the ministry, and that's where you step in to fill the gap. So donate today, and remember to ask for your copy of Living Without Worry when you call 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or if it's easier, you can give and request the book online at focalpointradio.org. And if you're ready to increase your commitment to Focal Point, we invite you to become a Focal Point partner. Our partners are people just like you, people who listen each day and want to reach a world that desperately needs to hear the truth of God's Word. These monthly donations minister to listeners around the world by helping pay for radio airtime and providing free access to all of Pastor Mike's sermons, devotionals, and videos. Sign up to become a Focal Point partner today by calling 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or sign up online at focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm Dave Drewy, inviting you back again Tuesday for a message on adding perseverance to your faith. right here on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.